inspiration, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. Today is a continuation of our program from last Tuesday. Our topic is, why does God love us? My guest, my guest today is Evangelist Liz Lavallee. She is a wife, she's a mother, and a grandmother. She is a member of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend John Harris. One of the things that we talked about in a brief summary, one of the things that we, and how are you today, Evangelist Lavallee?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well, and I'm so pleased to have you here today. A brief summary of what we spoke about last week was that, we are a rebellious, disobedient people. Sin is ever present. So many do not love God. So many do not desire God. So why does God love us? And Sister Lavallee expressed last Tuesday that God loves us because it is his character to love. His love is infinite. Our love is limited. We look for reasons to love others, but God's love is selfless and it is unconditional.
That's right.
And he loves us.
His love is also sacrificial.
Amen. And he loves us in spite of ourselves. And God is not about love. He is love. And everything that God does is referenced by his love. Just read John 3:16. Again, God is love, and God's love gives meaning to our lives. And we're going to continue with our discussion. And one of the things we wanted to talk about, why is it so hard for people to love God? Evangelist Lavallee.
Well, many times people view God in the same era as they view man. And we've already discussed how God's love is unconditional. But man believe that, God just can't love me for who I am. I'm not good enough. And that's one of the misleading of the mind of the enemy, is to think that you have to be good enough.
Amen.
For God to love you. None of us was good enough.
Amen.
The Bible said there was none good but the Father. And so they view God in that same way that they view man, that is, my character doesn't fit, and so therefore God cannot love me the way I am. But he does. He does. He loves everybody.
Everybody.
And you've already mentioned about John 3:16 that God, look how great it says, he so loved.
Amen. Amen, amen.
He couldn't. It's just like, it was just like God was saying, I can't help but love because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's my nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't change.
And he doesn't. God does not change. Scripture tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So forever means forever and ever and ever and ever. He does not change. And his love is constant. I mean,
that's right.
Constant.
Ongoing.
That's it. It never
and
stops.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you have done. And it's just so overwhelming to believe that kind of love, because so many times we've been let down by others who say they love us.
Mm-hmm.
But, the way they treat you, you don't feel that type of love. And so when we tell someone that God really loves you,
mm-hmm.
it's hard for them to receive that and believe that God can love me.
That's it. And then, you know, just looking into scripture at some of the people that God used that, you know, they were stained by sin. They were stained by sin, but he brought them out and he used them mightily in some cases. And you know, and people struggle with maintaining their love for God, and you know, some of the circumstances that people face causes them to feel abandoned by God. But God said he would never leave us, and never is a long time, never is forever. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. And and you know, and people also watch people who claim they belong to God, whose actions just don't validate that, and they don't want any part of God or the church sometime. They don't, and then some people don't want to deal with the hard things of the gospel, because when we follow God, it's not a bed of roses, because sometimes God have us in places and doing things that, you know, we would never think that, you know, we would ever do. But when God says it, and we're used as vessels, then we have to do it, even if we have to do it afraid. We have to do what he says do, and some people are just not willing to do that. And you know, people are not willing to deny themselves or count the cost of following God. And you know, it's impossible to serve God and ourselves, wouldn't you say?
I would say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, it's the Bible says no man can serve two masters.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to either love God and hate the world, or you're going to love the world and hate God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't have it both ways.
Not both ways.
That's how man and life wants to have it, both ways. They want God, but then they want to live any kind of way.
Absolutely.
And the two just don't go together.
Don't go together. That's
and it. And the other reason is, too, that we think God loves us because of who we are. But God loves us because of who he is.
Amen. Amen.
He is love.
That's it.
1 John 4:8 says that God is love.
That's it. That's it.
And so he loves us because of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that he loved us even when we didn't love him.
That's it. That's it. And you know, dying to flesh is a hard thing for human beings. And that's one of the things that God requires. We have to die to flesh daily. We can't just be any kind of way and do any kind of thing and say that we're walking with God. We just can't. We can't. And as God's children, you know, it's going to be difficult at times, because we're going to face temptations and hardships. But when we surrender unto God, he becomes the source of our joy, and the journey will be one of will not be one of drudgery. It would be something that we want to do. We will be in a place where we want to just please God. We want to be our best selves for God. But we have to get there, and we have to establish a relationship with him. And we're never too dirty, we're never too stained, we're never too far gone to come to God and repent of our sins and ask him to become ruler of our lives. We have that opportunity, but the choice is ours. We either choose to do what we're supposed to do or reject one of the two, but we can't have it both ways, as you said. Now, the other thing is too, you know, we're such a fallen people. We're such fallen human beings. How do you think God can love such fallen human beings?
Well, basically because that's, we go back to what we already said, that the nature of God is to love. And he is no respecter of person. He loves us because he's the one who made us.
Mm-hmm.
He know all about us. And he loves us because he wants to transform our lives.
Amen.
He wants to change our lives. He wants to be in relationship with us. And that's why he loves us.
And it's just so hard for some people to see. It's just so hard to see that.
I mean, sometimes I have to ask God, why do you love me so?
Hmm.
When you realize that you're not worthy of God's love, it's nothing that we could do to deserve God's love, but he just loves us.
He just
anyway.
Loves us, yes, indeed. And sometimes when, you know, having a relationship with him, you feel like you're not doing enough. You feel like there's more you can be doing, and you don't feel like it's enough, because he's done so much for us. But our obedience to him pleases him. And you know, and that's a good thing. But you know, and when God made humanity in his own image, he gave us the ability to choose, and we have to choose. But you know, we have abused that liberty in so many ways, but God does not change. And you know, God is about love. He's not about love. Like we said, he is love. And he gives us the opportunity to choose. He gives us all sorts of opportunities to choose him. Because like we said before, he loves us in spite of ourselves. And it remains our choice. And God's love surpasses human ability. God loves us more in one moment than anyone can love us in a lifetime. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And
his unfailing love.
Unfailing love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he said, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And many times we will take God's love for granted by trivializing, by oversimplifying who God is, you know, like OMG and the man upstairs and, you know, just frequent things that some people say in reference to God, you know, defying his holiness. God is just too holy for us to trivialize him. You know, he just is. And, you know, to take his love for granted, and by not giving him reverence, by not recognizing that he is holy, he is sovereign.
That's right.
He is the one who breathed life into us. And by continuing in sin, sin separates us from God. It just separates us from God. And like you said, God is love. His character is love. So he loves us in spite of ourselves. And it's not hard for him. I imagine it's probably sad for him to see us act the way we do. We probably grieve him because he's given us so much. And you know, he's just there for us.
And if you could use our human examples of love, we love our children, but yes, we may not love everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But we still love them.
That's it.
And so when you look at it from a human point of view, just think about the great God, how he loves us, even though he may not like everything that we do, but he still loves us.
Still loves us. Amen. And his arms are always open to receive us.
Right.
Always, always, always. And, you know, he wants us to accept his love. He wants us to accept his love. He invites us to accept his love for us. And that's just phenomenal. You know, and he wants us to draw nigh to him. And, you know, everything, like I said before, everything that God does is referenced by his love. And God shares his agape love with us, his benevolent, selfless love with us. And
that's
he deserves
right.
everything. We owe him everything. We owe him everything.
And you know, when I think about Jesus, how he came and he demonstrated the love of the Father. He, you know, he came down and sacrificed his life for fallen mankind, for our sins, for our wrongdoing, for our guilt.
That's
he demonstrated the love of the Father. And so God, in desire to have a relationship with us, wants us to demonstrate his love to others.
To others.
Who may not know that he is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. And so we are the vessels that he wants to work through. But the only way that that type of love can be shared abroad, we have to first have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to release ourselves to him. And through releasing ourselves to him, his love transforms our lives.
Amen.
Because the Bible said it wasn't that we loved him, but that
he loved
us.
Uh-huh. That's right. you know, and God's love gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And you know, without God's love, we would be empty and lonely. We would live wasted lives. And and like John 3:14 says, that love, he that loveth not abideth in death. And we are extensions of God's love. And like you said, he wants us to love one another.
Uh-huh.
He wants us to love
right.
one another. And, you know, Jesus, like you said, Jesus, God showed his ultimate love for us by allowing his son, his only son, to come to this earth and die for us. And that wasn't an easy thing that Jesus did. That wasn't a walk in the park. That he was crucified, and that's one of the most demeaning ways of death in Old Testament times. That was one of the most demeaning ways to die during that time. They stripped Jesus of his clothes, and he hung naked on the cross because it was during the Passover season, and people were walking by and looking and mocking and torturing him, and all that he went through before he even got to the cross. God allowed him to do that for us. God couldn't even stand to look at his own child because he had so much sin on him. And when they whipped him, the flesh fell from his bones because they braided a whip and put iron and glass and all kinds of stuff in it. And when they struck him with the whip, his flesh fell off. Jesus died a horrible death for us.
Right.
And you know, and that's love. That's love. None of us are going to do that. None of us would want to do that. That's love. And Jesus, they didn't make him. He willingly did that. That's God's ultimate love for us. Why wouldn't we want to serve a God like that?
Yes, he willingly gave up his life. The Bible said he laid down his life for us. And not, he laid it down for the world.
For the whole world.
For everyone. That everyone.
Everyone.
Whosoever.
Whosoever. Yes, indeed. How awesome.
Would believe on his son, Jesus Christ, they could have everlasting life.
How awesome.
That's how awesome God is, and that's how loving, and that's why we say his love was so sacrificial that he was not willing to spare his own
son.
Now, how many of us would give up our lives?
Nobody.
Or give up one of our children for sinful, rebellious people?
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says we'd hardly do it for a righteous man.
You're right.
So you know you that you wouldn't do it for somebody that was sinful, rebellious, wretched, and undone.
Amen. Amen.
Unloving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but our God, that's because he's love, and that's his nature to love. And to be merciful.
Mm-hmm. And we have to have that kind of love. But boy, oh boy, I tell you, it's hard sometimes.
Right. It takes God loving in us and
that's
through us.
It. That's
that's
it.
Why it says that he first loved us. Not
Amen.
That we loved him, but he came and showed us how to love and to help us to love.
Amen.
You know, he didn't leave it on our own to do that.
Right.
No, he showed us how to love, and he sent his Holy Spirit to help us to love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Everybody that we have and that we're supposed to love is not going to be lovable all the time. But we have to love them anyway.
We can do it with the help of the Lord.
Yeah, we can do it. And we have to be forgiving.
When I think about how much God loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And how he looked beyond all of my faults.
Yes, indeed.
And then when you love him to a degree that you seek and desire to please him, you want to love.
Amen. I'm a witness.
Yeah. And his love is operating in his children. The love of Christ, it lives, it dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, he told us in John 13:34, what he said, love as I have loved you.
That's it.
The same love that I love you, that's how I want you to love one another.
That's it, because now we're ambassadors.
Right. And he says, Christ. Now this is how the world's going to identify you, as belonging to me, or as belonging to God, who is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you... the world will know that you are his children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have that same,
kind of love. Isn't that powerful?
Uh-huh.
That's powerful.
So love should be God's children identifying mark.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I tell you, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to know that we have a loving God. We have a loving God, and he wants all of us. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. Nobody. He wants everybody to be saved. And as Christians and as knowing God the way we do, and like I said last week, we haven't always been where we are, but you know, there comes a point in time in your life when you start to realize who God is and what God means, if you want that kind of life, and you just gravitate toward God. You can't help yourself, because He's just so wonderful. It's not enough words to identify the love of God and who God is and how much He loves us. We could sit
That's
here
right.
from now on to forever, and it still wouldn't be enough.
Right. And you know, it's just not enough to just talk love.
Right.
To have lip service. It's not enough to talk love. We have to be about love.
Mm-hmm.
We have to truly be about loving one another.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in 1 John, the 4th chapter of 1 John, verse 7, anyone who loves is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know God. And listen, and He know us because of how we love.
Amen.
But anyone who does not love, the Bible says they don't know God.
They don't know God.
And they don't belong to God.
Amen. And we're going to have to come to the end of this program, but you know, it's so many powerful things, and I love to listen to you talk about the Bible, talk about the scripture, and you know, talk about the things of life, and you know, but God's love sustains us, you know, to whoever's listening in the audience. God's love sustains us, and His love is the example of all that is right and good. He transforms our lives. He purifies our hearts. God's love gives meaning to our lives. Without God's love, we are left diseased and dying and broken spiritually. God's love is foundational. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone," like you just said, Evangelist, "and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." God's love has been poured out into our heart through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, and we become ambassadors of Christ. Hallelujah.
And so I would say to, you know, to the listening audience, that maybe there's somebody out there who feel like, you know, nobody loves you. You know, nobody cares about you. Nobody's concerned. But I want you to know that God loves you. No matter
Amen.
What you have done, God loves you.
Amen.
And He wants to have a relationship with you.
Amen. Amen, amen.
And it's so easy. It's so easy. It's nothing that you have to do or that you can do, but just receive the gift of His love.
Amen.
It's free. He freely gives it to you. And then through you doing that, receiving that gift, He will come into your life and help you and teach you how to love yourself, and how to love others.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Lavallee, for being with us today. And
thank you for having me.
We look forward to you being with us again in the very near future. Thank you so much, and God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy your program.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us.
It would be a disservice to Jesus not to love ourselves after all he went through for me and